Well, a leading trade union in Pakistan is saying that factories there are more like death traps where workers are treated like slaves. Well, there was evidence of the first charge on September 11th in Pakistan's largest city, Karachi, when a fire swept through a garment factory, killing 300 workers. A huge loss, nearly twice as many workers killed as were killed in the landmark Triangle Factory fire in New York in 1911. But the Pakistan tragedy was swept off the front pages by that attack on an American consulate in Libya. And now it turns out that the Karachi factory, which made clothing for export, had just been inspected weeks before and had received the highest possible safety rating, even though faulty wiring, unsafe chemicals, and locked doors are all suspected in the deaths. How can that be? We want to take a closer look with Scott Nova. He's executive director of the Workers' Rights Consortium. He joins us from the Christian Science Monitor studios in Washington. And Scott, first explain how this system works. We understand there are several monitoring companies. One involved with this factory is based in New York, Social Accountability International. They subcontract with inspectors from other companies. Explain how it works.
Well, SAI, Social Accountability International, certifies factories as being safe and responsible factories. They do this by accrediting, as they call it, monitoring firms, so that those firms are authorized to go to factories and issue certifications based on Social Accountability International's labor standards.
And this one that was issued in the case of Pakistan was the SA 8000 certification. It was begun in 1997. And Social Accountability International, you know, we're reading in a New York Times article, their mission is to advance the human rights of workers around the world. They say that this is, you know, to bring these companies in line. But what obviously, I mean, this is still under investigation in Pakistan, but what seems to have gone wrong here?
Well, unfortunately, while SAI claims that its mission is to advance the rights of workers around the world, what SAI really does is protect the reputations of apparel brands around the world. SAI claims that it can certify and therefore guarantee that factories like the one that burned in Pakistan called Ali Enterprises are safe and responsible. But the problem is, Social Accountability International is funded largely by companies. The factories that are being certified are choosing and paying the certifying agencies, the monitoring firms, to do this work for them. So you have enormous conflicts of interest built into the system. And the results are that a lot of certifications get issued to factories that do not deserve them, that in fact are neither safe nor responsible employers.
Well, now, you know, is it possible that a company that's based in New York might have the intention of inspecting factories, regardless of the fact that it's corporate-funded, and it is funded by corporations? It might have that intention, but once it subcontracts, and in this case it was an Italian company, RINA, RINA, that carried out the actual inspection, once it subcontracts to companies, and further, once it goes to countries like Pakistan, which are notoriously corrupt, officials or inspectors are often paid off, you know, isn't it possible that somewhere along the supply chain there, that mission gets lost?
Well, ironically, just as the global apparel brands are outsourcing production of their products to contract factories in places like Pakistan, Social Accountability International is outsourcing the monitoring process to contract firms to do work in places like Pakistan. And you're quite right. Once you are outsourcing, once you're delegating this authority to dozens of firms around the world working with very little, if any, supervision, you are putting in place a system that you cannot control. You know, we can't evaluate Social Accountability International based on their intentions because we can't read the minds of their leadership. We have to evaluate them based on the results. And the result is that they issued a certification, which is supposed to be a gold standard for safe and responsible factories, to a facility so dangerous that within a few weeks of being granted that certification, it burned down and killed nearly 300 workers.
And just elaborate a little bit on what happened there. We understand doors were locked. Workers could not get out. Sounds horrific.
Yes, a fire started for reasons that have yet to be determined, though in most cases in apparel factory fires like this, the cause is some kind of electrical wiring issue. The fire started. There was only one open exit in the factory. Doors were locked. Windows were barred. Some workers have testified that management actually locked doors after the fire started because of a supposed fear that workers would steal products. So when workers were trying to escape as the fire spread throughout the factory, there was only one exit to get out, and most people could not make it to that exit. People burned to death. People died of smoke inhalation in the basement of the facility. Some workers died leaping off of the top floors of the building to try to save themselves.
Awful, awful. Well, meanwhile, Social Accountability International, again, the New York-based company that subcontracts inspectors who signed off on this factory, they say they've suspended work in Pakistan with this Italian group that did the inspections. They say they're horrified by what happened, and they're engaged in a broad review of the whole certification process. But putting that aside, we understand about 10,000 factories around the world have received the Social Accountability 8,000 standard. What does that say to you?
Well, yes, and they're not the only entity doing these kinds of certifications. We learned recently that this same factory, Ali Enterprises, had for several years received certification from another one of these entities, an organization called Worldwide Responsible Apparel Production, or WRAP, another industry-funded body that's out there certifying thousands of factories. They certified Ali Enterprises as a safe, responsible factory up through 2011. And the only reason that they didn't certify them in 2012 is because Ali Enterprises decided they didn't want to pay again for the certification. We also know that Ali Enterprises was audited by a firm working directly for one of the apparel brands using the factory, a company called Kik. Their auditor, an entity called UL Responsible Sourcing, also audited the factory and, according to Kik, also concluded the factory was safe and responsible. So what we have here is a systemic problem. We have an auditing system, a monitoring system, largely industry-funded and industry-controlled, that is absolutely failing to provide meaningful protection to workers, even as that system is essentially claiming to the public that there's meaningful regulation in place and that consumers can be confident that their goods are being made in safe and responsible workplaces.
And by the way, who are the other companies? Who knows? So far, none have come forward to help the victims of the Karachi fire. We're going to have more with Scott Nova of the Workers' Rights Consortium in 1 minute, here and now. Welcome back. We're learning more about that factory fire in Karachi, Pakistan last month that killed nearly 300 workers. We're speaking with Scott Nova of the Workers' Rights Consortium in Washington. They are critical of the monitoring group that issued a stamp of approval for the factory. Social Accountability International is based in New York. It monitors overseas factory conditions for retailers and brands. The factory, Ali Enterprises of Karachi, had just received an SA8000 certification, which is described by SAI as a comprehensive tool for assuring humane workplaces. But surviving workers described horrific conditions. There was only one way out of the building. Workers trying to escape found locked doors, gated windows, a factory stuffed with garments, all headed for stores and shops overseas. A horrific scene, reminiscent of the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire in New York in 1911. So, Scott Nova, is there any monitoring that would meet the needs of thousands of factories? I mean, Apple, which has been criticized for conditions at its Chinese suppliers, decided to have an outside monitoring group, the Fair Labor Association, to inspect its factories. But you say even something called the Fair Labor Association isn't truly independent. Why?
Well, it's not independent because it's funded by companies. In fact, Apple is now the largest funder of the Fair Labor Association.
But who else would pay to keep these inspection services alive? I mean, you couldn't count on corrupt governments.
No, the most valuable thing that you could do is respect the right of workers in these factories to organize unions and advocate for their own protection. And the problem in places like Pakistan is that that right is not respected. Even though all of the brands and retailers say that their own codes of conduct require factories to respect the right to organize a union. In fact, in any of these factories, as soon as any worker emerges as a leader or criticizes conditions, that worker is fired. The most important thing that could happen is for workers to be able to organize and advocate and fight for their own interests inside the factory. We know, for example, that doors were locked, and that's one of the reasons why so many workers died in this horrific fire. No monitoring organization can be in the factory every day to determine if the doors are locked or unlocked. But you know who is in the factory every day? The workers. And if they have an organization and they have advocates acting on their behalf within the factory, they can determine if the doors have been locked, creating an unsafe situation, and they can pressure management to unlock the doors. So the biggest problem here is that these certification bodies and the brands and retailers through their own monitoring systems are making a massive false claim to the public. They're claiming that those industry-funded, industry-controlled systems in and of themselves are sufficient to ensure meaningful protections for workers. And while those brands and retailers should be inspecting their own factories, they should not be claiming that their own inspections are an adequate mechanism for protecting workers. There need to be unions in these factories that can advocate for workers, and the factories need to provide access to legitimate local non-governmental organizations that aren't funded and controlled by the companies who can do inspections as well.
It's hard to imagine American companies who get their supplies from these factories switching from using these corporate-funded inspection services to pushing governments to have unions when, in fact, in this country, most of these companies are not pro-union.
No, unfortunately, you're exactly right. I mean, you know, you have a company like Walmart, which is the biggest buyer of apparel around the globe, that is a viciously anti-union company here in the United States. So Walmart's the last entity that's going to be out there trying to protect the right of workers to have a union in its thousands of apparel factories around the world. But the problem is, until and unless workers can advocate for themselves, the prospects for change are very limited. And, you know, there's also, Robin, another fundamental conflict here that needs to be understood, and that is that brands and retailers, whether it's Walmart or Kik or Gap or whomever, are producing in places like Pakistan exactly because it's cheap to produce there. And one of the main reasons it's cheap to produce there is those countries do not aggressively enforce labor law. They do not regulate the factories. So on the one hand, you've got these brands and retailers benefiting in the form of low production costs from their decision to source from countries that don't enforce labor rights protections. On the other hand, you've got these same brands and retailers claiming that they're making a genuine effort through organizations like Social Accountability International to improve labor standards and respect for worker rights. In fact, if the factories made the improvements the brands and retailers claim they want to see, production costs would rise. But we know that the brands and retailers will not tolerate higher production costs. So there's a huge built-in conflict of interest here. The brands and retailers want low prices. That's why they're in places like Pakistan. So when they tell the public that they're doing everything they can to improve respect for worker rights, to improve wages and working conditions, the public has a right to be skeptical about whether that is, in fact, their real agenda.
Just one last question, Scott. You know, it's just you don't want to think about this event. I mean, almost 300 workers trapped in a factory, you know, burning to death or jumping to their deaths. Just it's horrific. And as we mentioned, there was that 1911 factory fire that killed mostly female workers in the Triangle Shirtwaist factory fire in New York in 1911. And it changed everything, that one fire in New York. This didn't even make it to the front pages. I mean, are you a little discouraged by how little reaction there has been to this fire?
Yes. You know, it is a situation in which the brands and retailers have succeeded in distancing the working conditions in their factories from the consumers who buy and wear the products, because there's a difference in the perspective of American consumers between a fire in Manhattan and a fire in Karachi, Pakistan. One hopes, of course, that this situation was so gruesome that it will galvanize at an international level a reform movement, just as the Triangle Shirtwaist fire did in New York. You know, the day after the Triangle Shirtwaist fire, the headline in a newspaper, the Daily Forward, was, "The morgue is filled with our sacrifices." And the point the paper was making was that the community had a responsibility here because they were sending their daughters and sons to work in apparel factories without taking the steps necessary to hold employers accountable and make sure those workplaces were safe. And this is now happening on a global scale. Millions of workers around the world in countries like Pakistan producing clothing for American and European consumers in a completely unregulated system. And yet you've got brands and retailers claiming through their work with organizations like SAI that they have it under control, that they're monitoring the factories, that people can be confident workers are being protected. In fact, as this terrible fire has shown us so clearly, workers are not being protected and change is desperately needed.
That's Scott Nova, Executive Director of the Workers' Rights Consortium, a monitoring group in Washington financed by American universities. Scott, thanks so much.
Thank you.
So, 300 people dead, horrific fire. Does it make you think about the label on your jeans, move you to push for change, or have Americans become too accustomed to cheap jeans? Is clothing too globalized to try to change your thoughts? We want to hear from you at hereandnow.org. The very latest news is next, Here and Now.